catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know, heading into this Wednesday morning, March 22nd. I'm Ailey Shanes, and this is The Point from WUFT News. A large blob of a type of seaweed called sargassum is headed toward the Florida coast. This blob is twice the width of the United States. I spoke to UF IFAS Extension Agent Shelley Kruger on what this is and the impacts it can have.
There's more than 60 different species of sargassum, but these two species in particular that are causing the blob, they have a pelagic form that lives exclusively in the open ocean. And whenever the dominant winds and currents push that mass of seaweed towards the shoreline, that's when it can arrive on shore. And it's very important habitat in the open ocean. It supports a tremendous amount of sea life on account of it's really one of the only places at the surface to hide and to forage. So for example, loggerhead sea turtles, almost as soon as they're born, they head to the Sargasso Sea, which has traditionally been between the eastern coast of the United States and northern Africa. And this blob that's being referred to frequently in the media and news articles represents a large amount of the brown macroalgae called sargassum that's coming from what they're calling the Great Atlantic Sargassum Belt. And this is basically almost a new Sargasso Sea that instead of in the current position where the Sargasso Sea has been for hundreds of years and still is, this new Great Atlantic Sargassum Belt is closer to the equator. And if you think about the warmer waters, the longer growing season, and access to nutrients from rivers, it's become so large since 2011 that it can actually be seen by a satellite. And so this is the brown macroalgae called sargassum that we're hearing about.
When did this start becoming a big issue, and when did scientists start to realize more about this?
The problem with sargassum that's really been inundating the beaches from Mexico to Florida started in 2011. And it's hypothesized that during 2009 and 2010, there was a change in the currents in the North Atlantic that allowed a lot of the sargassum seaweed that's in the Sargasso Sea to basically be pushed west and south and become entrained in the currents or ocean gyres that exist closer to the equator between South America and North Africa. And this is the source of this new sargassum, because sargassum has always traditionally come ashore based on the wind. And unfortunately, this is a new source of sargassum. And Mexico in particular has been seeing problems with it for quite a while, 2011 for sure. And this year is similar to last year. There's a large amount of it out there floating in the open ocean. And really we have no idea, because it's pushed to shore by winds and currents. So depending on the prevailing winds and currents really is where this sargassum will end up ashore in the United States. And it can occur anywhere from Texas to Florida. So in the Florida Keys, we've definitely seen it. Our worst year was 2018. Last year was not that bad. But that being said, when it does come in, even when we say it's not that bad, it can still fill residential canals, marinas. It can be hard for people to get their boats out. It can definitely affect tourism if you have piles of it on the beach, and removal is very expensive because it's wet and it's mixed with sand. And a lot of places in the Florida Keys included, we re-nourish our beaches with sand. So if you're constantly removing the sargassum with heavy machinery, you're also removing a lot of the sand that you then have to pay to re-nourish more frequently. So the economic costs are high. And unfortunately, the more sargassum that comes ashore could lead to even higher costs.
You talked about the economic impacts that sargassum can have, or this big blob of seaweed can have when it reaches our shores. Can you discuss some of the environmental impacts that this can have?
Offshore, the sargassum is incredibly important. It supports a lot of very valuable recreational and commercial fisheries. It's a nursery area for fish and crustaceans, and it supports a lot of seabirds. The problem is when it washes ashore, it can come in amounts that are so high that they can actually smother the sea turtle nests that are on the beach. And also, that extra heat acts like a warm blanket that can even warm up the beach sand. And that has implications for the sex ratios of the sea turtles that have been laid there. The other problem is that if it stays for a while and isn't flushed out with the tide, it can actually block the sunlight that reaches the seagrasses. And when the seagrasses don't receive sunlight, they can't photosynthesize. And so that can cause the seagrasses to die. And also, when the sargassum starts to decompose, that microbial action of the decomposition actually removes oxygen from the water. And this is what leads to fish kills. And it can also cover coral, and coral are also photosynthetic in terms of the zooxanthellae that live within their tissues. So if they're covered and can't get sunlight for days or weeks or months, that can kill the patch reefs that are inshore. And then there's also the smell that comes from the rotting seaweed, which is where a lot of the economic impact comes from tourism, because people don't want to sit at the beach when it's stinky. And likewise, don't want to eat dinner on a nice patio if there's the smell of hydrogen sulfide. So those are some of the economic impacts in addition to some of the wildlife impacts.
That was UF IFAS Extension Agent Shelley Kruger on the large blob of seaweed heading toward the Florida coast. Now, let's catch you up on today's top stories from around the state. Electric vehicle owners in Florida may join drivers in 31 other states who now pay the equivalent of a gas tax. A proposal in the Florida Senate would create a fee for drivers of most hybrid and electric vehicles. WFSU's Gina Jordan reports Senator Ed Hooper's bill would create an additional yearly license plate registration fee of $200 on electric vehicles. Plug-in hybrids would be charged an additional $50. Both of those numbers would increase by $50 in 2028. Florida Republicans are pushing a bill that could overturn several precedents set by the Supreme Court on First Amendment rights. WUFT's Jake Bauer reports the proposed House Bill 991, officially titled Defamation, False Light, and Unauthorized Publication of Name or Likeness, would make it easier to sue news outlets for defamation by lowering the requirements to prove actual malice. This has protected journalists since the U.S. Supreme Court's 1964 decision in New York Times versus Sullivan. A House panel on Tuesday supported launching a pilot program of year-round schools, hoping it could help students recover from learning losses during the COVID-19 pandemic. News Service of Florida's Ryan Daly reports state law requires school boards to operate public schools for 180 days a year, or the hourly equivalent. But a House staff analysis says schools are able to operate on year-round schedules. The House Choice and Innovation Subcommittee approved a bill that would set up a pilot program for 4 years, with the goal of studying benefits of a year-long school schedule. Subscribe to the Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org to subscribe and view the most recent issues. I'm Ailey Shanes, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communications. Have a great Wednesday.